welcome to Live from Ordinary Miracles.
Hello, Matt, and good evening.
Hello, Jan. Welcome back.
I was going to ask you if you were going to welcome me back. Thank you so much. I had a very, very nice rest.
Excellent.
I enjoyed your show last week with Maury.
Thank you.
Songwriting.
And there's a rumor he might drop by later. Because we have to play the progress on that song we started on the air.
Did you have time to work on it this week a little bit?
Maury worked on it some.
Do you know, I tried to call in last week. I got so excited.
You were one of those calls.
Yeah, I was one of the calls. But I couldn't get through.
Well, the reality of Internet radio is they can handle one phone call at a time. And the other thing, for those of you who did try to call in, I understand that three or four folks did try to call. We have to be able to hear a beep in our headphones. But as Maury was playing music, that beep became part of the music, so I didn't realize it was actually a different music that was trying to call in. But we want to invite people to call, and especially tonight, we have a guest, a naturopath named Treya Palmer. And naturopaths use a number of different healing modalities to help inspire the body to generate its own healing. And among those is something called energy medicine or frequency medicine. And Treya is going to talk about that tonight. So if you have questions on a health issue, feel free to call. And hopefully we'll hear that beep if we're not too excitedly talking amongst ourselves. And before that, let's talk about ourselves. Let's begin with the opening music. What was...
The opening music was one of my projects, the CD As Above, So Below. And because the reason we're here is to talk about sound healing and sound frequencies, that was a project that I put together with my dear friend Randy Masters. And it actually has healing frequency transmissions in it throughout. Actually, Spirit told me the order to put the songs. And that particular piece, our engineer stepped in and played the guitar, and that's called Seven Sisters, and it's about the Pleiades and how we work with the energy of the Pleiadians for healing.
Okay. Now let's sort of get our information out to you so we can move on. We're we're broadcasting from a store in Katahdi called Ordinary Miracles. And this actually is sometimes or usually more of a clinic than a store, where actually Treya works as a naturopath, and I do my work in voice mapping. And voice mapping uses the frequencies in your voice, and a biofeedback process fed back to you helps to stimulate places where there's a memory and muscle connection that's connected to a buried stress and trauma. And when your frequencies from your voice are fed back, that causes a stimulation that allows for release and healing. That's a very simplistic intro to voice mapping. And Jan, can you tell us a little bit about the work you do called Voice Bio?
What I think is so interesting is that our work overlaps. It's really frequency work. First, I want to say we're here in Sonoma County because I know listeners are all around the world. We're in Katahdi, actually, of all places. And I live in Santa Rosa. I have a question for you, though, first, Matt. What inspired you to call it Ordinary Miracles? That's such a wonderful...
Oh, that's a fun little story. And actually, many, many years ago, I lived in someplace south of Bakersfield called Los Angeles. And I had a nightclub, and I was, one of those folks that did talent assessment and coordination. And occasionally I was invited to go someplace and listen to song circles or... I think back then it was called cassette roulette. There was this little thing called a cassette that played music.
Yeah.
And people would come with their songs on a cassette, and they'd want to have the music industry professional listen to their song and give some kind of critique and hopefully get discovered. And one day I was invited to Santa Barbara, which was about 100 miles north of Los Angeles. And I honestly don't remember this. This is leading up to how the store got its name. And I was told 2 years ago, which is like 20 years later from where I'm starting from, that a woman had submitted her cassette, and she's listening to me kind of mercilessly trash almost every song that comes up. I'm basically saying, well, there's...
You were?
That's what she says.
You were one of those?
That was her experience of me. I thought I was a really gentle guy.
Because I was one of the ones bringing the tapes.
Right. But I know that I would say things like...
crushing experience.
You know, like the lyrically it's not very intriguing, or melodically it sounds kind of derivative, you know, or it's very competent but safe, you know. And she was really fearing the moment that hers would come up, and hers came up towards the end, and I actually did not cut it off in the middle. I listened to the end and said, now that's a good song. So she remembered that as a very significant moment for her. So 20 years later, I am booking house concerts here in my community, and this woman, Rebecca Troon, says, do you remember me from 20 years ago? Well, forgive me, I don't. And she told the story that she was the one that this happened to, and I went, wow, so I'm glad it was nice to you. And she played a song in her house concert, and the title of the song was Ordinary Miracles. And Treya and I were thinking about what to call our store, and we had a few names bouncing around. You know, Acme Alternative Health Store didn't really make sense, you know, but we're working on it. And she heard that title, Ordinary Miracles, and said, you think she'd let us use the title? And Rebecca, and we talked to her at the end of the concert, and she said, well, of course, that'd be very nice. And it was like a year later, Rebecca comes back to do a house concert. She pulls up in front of the store and looks up and sees the name and goes, gee, what a nice coincidence. Totally not remembering that we had asked her if we could use that name. But it's a really wonderful song that we actually should submit to VBS Radio because it really fit beautifully with their format and their philosophy. Does that answer your question?
That's a perfect answer. And my feeling is these are not ordinary times. I believe that miracles are happening around us all the time. And I think a big part of it is our understanding as a civilization about this whole frequency thing, about how we are operating our bodies in these frequency bands, and that our very health depends upon taking a look at this and using sound healing. So your work is voice mapping, right? You're taking
right.
a look at the emotional component. And actually, my work is with the voice bio. So what that says is your voice actually represents the biology or the physiology of your body. When you stop and think about it, why does your voice sound different than someone else's? You're actually sounding or resounding the harmonics within your body, all your organs, your bones, your nerves, and everything. So I always knew singing was healing. I grew up singing. Then I was a nurse, and then I worked with hospice patients at the bedside. And one day I said, you know, I'm going to sing to those patients. It just bubbled up, and I thought I was the first one to think of it. No, not at all. But when I finally found the voice bio, I realized I could show people that their bodies are frequencies. And as you speak into the microphone, it plots the frequencies and gives us a graph and shows all the different things that are going on in your body. That's where I use my nursing knowledge to make a consultation.
So that's why my voice doesn't sound like Jennifer Warren's.
Yeah, absolutely. I know your voice bio. I know it very well. In fact, we were just laughing. I brought an instrument to share tonight that will deeply demonstrate frequencies and sympathetic resonance, and Matt automatically gravitated to the side that was lower because his voice bio, that's what he gravitates and vibrates to, and I went for the F sharp, which is the sympathetic nervous system, and that's where my energy points are.
You want to play the difference?
Yeah. Let's play first? Let's see. Okay, let's play my side first, of course. This is F sharp. And let me describe this instrument to you before you hear it. This is an offshoot of the Annapurna, one of a kind, I believe, made by a fellow in Heidelberg through Spirit. Many of these sound healing instruments are coming through Spirit now. And it's a 6 foot high, beautifully handmade, handcrafted instrument with little Hathor ears on the top. No, this is the baby. This is not
the original 6 foot high.
The Annapurna, to witness it and to be in its presence, is like an Egyptian obelisk, almost like a tetrahedron, three equal sides, and each side has a plethora, is that a good word?
Yeah.
Has all these strings of sympathetic resonance. So one person can play two sides. This woman, Angelica, plays it in concerts and sings like Deva Pramal. And it is so goddessy, it just sends you. This, the resonances that come forth from her voice.
Great adverb, goddessy, I like that.
Very goddessy, yeah. It does it for me. Just puts you into a trance. So the three sides she plays, and it's the sympathetic resonance, and because we know shape resonance has an effect, that sacred geometry of the triangle in the middle creates like a vortex of sound. And I put my forehead on it, and I had a gentleman sing, so we had the high and the low, the feminine and the masculine. We sang, and I swear, we heard ancient men's voices talking to us inside. Now, the woman who owns that instrument, her name is Jane, she said that she channels the Hathor sound beings. So she and Tom Kenyon have a special portal to the sound beings, to this Annapurna instrument. But this, anyway, the woman had this instrument, and you know how synchronistic it was, day of ordinary miracles. They told her to bring the guitar, but she misheard, and she brought this instrument. The first four strings are similar to a tambura, and I embarrassingly say I don't know that much about that instrument other than it's Indian with all these wonderful resonant overtones. There are two strings on my side. One is the C sharp, and then down in the middle would be the C sharp, and the rest of the entire side of strings.
About 25 strings.
About 25 strings are all F sharp, but they're different octaves. So if you're not a musician, what that means, it's the same note, the same quality, flavor, same resonance, but a little bit higher. So based on the monochord theory, if I play any F sharp, every other note on this gets excited, so it's sympathetic resonance.
So why don't you show an example?
All right, here we go. So that's my side. Now this is the side that Matt likes, because the frequencies in his body are more resonant, and he likes this. I asked Angelica if there was a name for this, and she laughed and said, well, because it sends the person instantly into bliss, and we somehow called it the bliss fist, which is short for something, I forget, bliss fist fist. And I said, no, this is a beautiful feminine instrument. We're going to call it Maria. So this is Maria. Before we bring Treya on, Matt and I thought we would just talk a little bit more about frequencies. This is our work. It really is the music of the spheres, the mysteries of the universe. And what you were saying before Matt was so fabulous. Oh, nope. Matt, thank you. We decided that we were going to stick with the structure of our outline here. And at this point in our show, we always say, Matt, what was the best thing that happened to you today and the worst?
Well, the best thing that happened to me actually happened about 24 hours ago. I went to hear John Dean speak. And those of you that remember something called Watergate, John Dean spoke at Book Passages last night at Corte Madera. He has a new book, and a book that I really resonated to was called Conservatives Without Conscience. And I think John Dean considers himself still to be a conservative, but with a conscience. And so he was actually revealing all these insights to the nature of the vaccines chaos, not just with Nixon, but up to present day, a lot of insights on how Cheney basically sets it up so that Bush can be the decider. But so it was, and I met him, and I gave him a theory I'm working on called predatory leadership, and he liked the sound of that. So that was the best thing. And I always struggle in terms of the worst thing. It was probably the flood under my sink. So I've got to replace some floorboards in my kitchen.
But you know, there's always a miracle in there, right? An ordinary miracle in there. There's something about that needed to be done. Or
yeah, we get to have a new floor.
You know, when you said that about Shane, it made me think about that parent who gives their child all choices that are acceptable to the parent, right?
Yeah.
It's like gaining a right to them. That's great. Well, let's see. The worst thing that happened to me today actually led into the best thing. I realized that the sound work I'm doing, considering last night I was working on a person with six huge crystal bowls around that person. So my system was so hot with the frequencies, and I was so energized that today when I sat in front of my wireless internet computer, I felt like I was being fried. My hands actually started aching. So my friend who works with this EMF pollution said, you need to get outside. So this is the best part. I went outside, and I noticed all my golden delicious apples are gone from green, and they're bursting a deep yellow. And I reached up on the ladder, and I picked the juiciest, biggest one, and a warm apple right off my tree with the warmth of the sun. It was just about as ecstasy as you can get. And then I climbed down, and I put my feet on the ground, and I think that grounding and feeling the earth, the Schumann resonance, right, which is 7.8 or whatever they say, actually drained out some of that extra electromagnetic frequency that was creating havoc with my body at that time.
So what do you do about your computer?
Well, actually, when I work with people in the voice bio, I see that they're shifting their frequencies over to the right side of the screen.
My question is, what do you do about the pollution coming from your computer?
Well, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I counsel people that if they get this grid, and see, I'm headed there. If I sit in front of that computer the way some of these young fellows do all the time, they are shifted and their immune systems are failing. So I don't want to get there. Number one, I called my son, and I'd asked him last week. I said, can you turn it back to an Ethernet? And I don't want it running through my whole house all the time. I also, Jiva from the template ceremony gave me a special little sacred geometry, has shape resonance, and that's supposed to catch and work with some of it. I also have a polarizing pillow from Spring Life Company, which has special minerals and sea salts in it, and that also is absorbing. I have a little box, it's called, it was $400, and it also kind of evens out the different vibrational frequencies in my room. So I've done different things, but I find the deeper I go into sound and frequency work, many people are feeling this, that their hands actually ache in front of that computer, especially when you first turn the computer on, there's a huge amount of energy that comes in, so... Anyway, that's a great way to lead right into
our
talk about
frequency. That's
exactly
what I was going to say.
Yeah. I think the future, we're going to bring Trey on here just a moment. The future of medicine is through energy. James Oshman, O-S-C-H-M-A-N, has written a beautiful book, Energy Medicine, The Scientific Basis. Also, the anthroposophical genius, Rudolf Steiner, paved the way decades ago and said that it is all about frequencies and energy, the tools that Matt and I use, the voice bio and voice mapping, and that in the future it will only be rebalancing our body through frequencies. And the frequencies can be essential oils, toning, food, being in the frequencies of nature. However, some situations will require surgery. So it'll be surgery and energy medicine. It's that simple. I wanted to also share a little bit more. Do you hold this instrument for me here, Matt?
With pleasure.
Yeah. I want to share a little bit about... you can't help himself. I know, it's beautiful. In just a moment, I'll play and do a little bit of singing. I wanted to bring up... there's a very... this woman who's bringing really genius information to our planet, Carolyn Corey. She's in Florida. Her book is called God Among Us. And she actually has a chart here about the frequencies as to the band of frequencies. For instance, 130 hertz to 420 hertz is our planetary system orbit frequency. 7 to 12 hertz is our Earth frequency. When you drop down to 0 hertz, that's 0 point frequency, which is a point of transfer from human to divine, time to timelessness, finite to infinite. Now, she said, for all you meditators out there, you need to drop to that frequency band, to nothingness, stillness of your mind, And then, from that quiet, non-three-dimensional space, you can access the frequency band of cosmic consciousness. You jump up to the 1,000 frequency band, human mind matrix, spiritual oneness. At the 5,000 to 1 millihertz, unconditional spontaneous healing. And one of these nights I'm going to devote a whole program to that, how sound healing takes you right into that matrix and that portal. At 1,000 to 1 million hertz, spontaneous communication with invisible realms. Up to 1 million hertz, oneness with Creator, Father, and Source, Creative Energy. So that's just something to think about, and as you go throughout your day, just get a sense of, hey, what frequency band am I percolating in? And check out the people around you. I'm finding I don't want to be around people who are in a dissonant frequency band for where I'm at, in my comfort zone. And you'll sense that, you'll sense it. Now, I want you to repeat what you told me about that as above, so below. It was so eloquent, Matt, earlier.
Okay, we were talking about, you know, different perceptions on frequency and its application. One of the things I do is I do mediation, conflict resolution work, and part of our job as a mediator in terms of the gaps, the gulf, the bridge, the obstacles between people and conflict is to bring them to see the connections they have in spite of their visible perception of a conflict, that in so many ways we are connected. And my mentor is a wonderful man named Ken Cloak, author and trainer in conflict resolution, once opened a lecture talking about sort of the layers of reality that are around us all the time. He says, starting with your present place on the earth and kind of looking around, and you see clouds above, you see streets around you, cars and things like that. But what if you start to shrink and shrink down to, you know, the size of a bug, and suddenly a blade of grass is the size of a tall tree, and you're in a forest of these tall trees. But then you shrink even smaller, and smaller than the bug down into the microbe level, where now the bug seems like Godzilla. And maybe there's lots of little life forms scattering about you didn't see before, so there's this whole vibration of, you know, little mites and little microbes and just kind of buzzing and multiplying and dying. And then you shrink smaller and go down into the molecular level. You know, and you're seeing the molecules that create the components of everything around you. And at that point, you no longer see the differences between things. You actually see the molecules all connected. And it's one of the elements where we see that truly everybody is connected. And from the molecular level, you go down to the atomic level. And at that level, you're seeing, you know, the electrons whizzing around the nucleus of protons and neutrons. And everything has specific frequencies with it. They're vibrating. And then down in the subatomic, which I don't know how to perceive that, but maybe some physicists do. But it's there. Everything is pure frequency. You know, do you see any matter at that point? But you experience a unique atomic structure is vibrating at a unique frequency, and we're all connected through those frequencies. Then, kind of expanding back up, you know, through the layers, back up through the microbes and the grass to our current level of perception, but now expanding even even more outward, and there's that classic view, like at the very end of a Men in Black, where you see as you're going up the streets and the cars diminish into simply layers of geologic areas. You shrink back further, and then, you know, the earth shrinks into a marble. I forgot to mention during some of those layers is atmospheric levels, and there'll be levels where it's stormy, and yet you go above another couple thousand feet, and you can see the storm below, but it's calm. And then going outward to, you know, the planetary level and solar system level. And there's the sort of a similar rotation from the atomic level is the rotation of the solar system and that spin. And that spin is part of a galactic spin as you pull out further. And that galactic spin is part of a universal spin. And so the connection of frequency from the subatomic to the universal level is all connected in several ways. And maybe Treya, when we bring her in, can go deeper into that if that relates to what she's going to talk about. And I believe...
I'm feeling like it'd be nice to just sing a little bit of song to serenade that beautiful talk you just gave about the connectedness of our universe. Been very patient. I understand she's back there making pies and cake for your community's birthday celebration tomorrow. And Treya?
I am
hi.
Here.
Hi.
Hi.
There you are.
You may need to talk a little bit louder.
Okay, is that better?
That's better.
Welcome to Ordinary Miracles.
Thank you so much.
So, any thoughts on our sort of vibrating conversation so far?
Oh, you're wonderful to listen to. It's so exciting to hear you guys. You're so relaxed. It makes it very comfortable.
Can you talk a little bit about your background, maybe what brought you into the healing field?
What brought me to it?
Yeah. What twisted pathways have you...
Yes. in the early 80s, I was had a heavy chemical exposure that fairly well knocked my immune system off balance. And I spent a couple years doing traditional medicine, trying to figure out how to get myself back on track, and finally ended up leaving that terrain after they said it was all in my head.
In your head, sure.
Okay. And I knew that it wasn't.
What were you feeling at the time?
I had multiple chemical sensitivity, so I had a great deal of trouble concentrating. My worst, I couldn't actually find my way to the grocery store and back without getting lost. And the grocery store was just a few miles away. But
did that lead you into becoming a naturopath then?
It did. Yep, that's precisely what, that was the beginning. If that was the right question. Am I getting the question right?
Yes.
So the first alternative doc that I met actually... I can also credit her for being the first person that actually listened to that story. It said it started when I was exposed to chemicals. And she said, well, duh, it's probably a chemical problem.
And what did the other doctors say prior to that?
It ended with all in my head.
They disregarded the fact that you'd been in a chemical fire.
There really was nothing wrong with me.
Okay.
Yeah, they feel comfortable closing the book on the case.
That's yeah. Was their opinion. Anyway, she got me on a program doing a lot of different things, and within 6 months I was really getting my life back, and I could even go back to work, and I got to go back to work for her because I had a passion about what she was doing and wanted to learn more, and I had no background whatsoever. But she spent the next 6 years actually mentoring me. At the time, I really didn't know probably what level of a nag I was being. Just pressing her always for, can I do this and that and the other thing, and can you teach me this or that, or how do I learn more? something or other that she was doing. And then she retired, and I got to go to work for her mentor. This was in was in Chicago at the time, Dr. Theron Randolph, who did a good deal of work in the allergy field, and he is considered to be responsible for breaking the back of the insurance companies around food allergies. And prior to his influence in the insurance industry, they didn't believe that you could be allergic to a food. You only could be allergic to what you breathed, like a pollen. Mm-hmm. So that was a wonderful experience working with him. And he retired at the ripe age of 89. And around that same time, the first doctor that I was working for called me and said that she didn't really want to go into retirement. After all, her dream of retirement was to move to Arkansas and have a goat farm, which is what she was doing. And she was tired of doing that.
Well, that romance of raising goats didn't last too long.
Her passion was working and healing people, obviously.
Right. So she felt like she needed to get back to that work and invited me down to Arkansas and help her set up something down there. Mm-hmm. So
you learned how to set up a medical office at that point.
Right, I did. Well, I went back, my initial background with her. I went down and helped her set up her practice and got things rolling. And she fronted my move down there to not plan on staying, that my invitation was just to come down and help set things up. And I didn't really understand why, and had my own idea that once I got down there and we got rolling, we got along so well, I could just, stay. Well, I was clearly a northerner, and during that period in Arkansas, northerners definitely were not welcome. So her initial insight was absolutely clear. And after we got set up and got things rolling, it took about 2 years, I moved back up into Chicagoland and actually went to work for a dentist who was doing alternative dentistry and got some of the metal taken out of my teeth, which was one more element that I needed to have done, and got to learn from him a lot of different things in the alternative dentistry field and what could be, how to work it, how not to work it, and what to look for. And it was another good, really, really good experience. I stayed with him for a couple of years and really got clear that I didn't want to work in the dental field. And about the same time that happened, and I put my little prayer out to the universe saying, I need to get back into my field. Within a week, I got a call from a doctor that I'd never heard of in a different part of Chicago, saying that, asking if I would come over and set up her lab and do work there, run the alternative piece of her clinic a little bit.
When you say a lab, Treya, I'm not an allergy. What does that mean? Do naturopaths have labs?
She was a medical doctor, and she wanted an allergy lab.
Okay.
And attached to the lab, she also wanted to do things like chelation to help get metals out and to take care of cholesterol problems or blocked arteries, that whole network of thing. And I had a pretty strong background in that area, so she didn't have to train me at all, even though I'd never been to school for that specifically. By then I had close to 10 years of experience doing it. And in the medical community, everyone pretty much knows everyone, if you're, especially in the alternative world. And so I was just very lucky. She left me a message on my voice machine, and I called her back, and we talked very, very briefly over the phone. I said I was interested and I needed this much money, and she said, fine, you could have it. And I was all very excited, hung up thinking I should have asked for way more. But
you've had an amazing path to get where you are. I'd like to ask you a question. I know you use frequencies, and I've been trying to get over and have an appointment with you. And my burning question is, do all naturopaths use frequencies, or are you using a particular program that addressing the frequencies in the body for healing?
Right, I do. Actually, I use kind of a combination of work using frequencies. So the program I use can read through your body's meridians to see where each meridian is, how it's functioning, and how the organs and systems are functioning individually and together. So that's the first leg of it. Am I answering your question?
And I think what you're saying in terms of using the body's meridians, it's actually you're reading the same energy that runs our nervous system and runs our brain activity. Is that correct?
That's correct from that level on the first run through, which takes less than 5 minutes to get that piece of information, but it allows me to have a solid baseline so that if you come back in a week or a month, then I can depend on the next level of information, which is looking for if you have a hormonal imbalance, if you have infections, if you have mineral or vitamin depletions or excesses, if you have heavy metal toxicity. So there's over 100,000 different things that I can look at through their frequency.
Because this is the intriguing part to me. I had a voice mapping session with Matt, and he read my body frequencies, and you put it into a little bottle of water.
Right.
And the next thing I knew, you had looked at it and given me feedback that my thyroid was low, I might look into this and this and this and this. I don't understand how did you get my frequencies and figure that out through your practice? What is that chain of events?
The information that Matt gets doing voice mapping also integrates looking at where you hold energy in your muscles, right, in your voice, is how you're holding energy and stress and relaxation. How are you holding that in your body, and where is it holding? And those stresses evolve into disease or dis-ease. Mm-hmm. So wherever there is a blockage of energy or an excess or a depletion creates different patterns. And so that came off the screening that Matt did with the voice mapping, and then he typically ask permission before he forwards it to me, and then I send back my 2 cents.
So, is that a computerized program then? That so the machine read my frequencies, right, Matt?
Well, let me kind of put it this way. One brilliant thing about the technology with voice mapping itself was invented by Calvin Young. Vaughn Cook invented the equipment that Treya uses.
Okay.
And so that looks at the physiological balance, or the frequencies that indicate what things are in and out of balance physiologically. And so Vaughn integrated that software with Calvin's voice mapping software.
Oh, for cross-referencing.
Right, so at the end
of computerized leaflet that goes through and it zeroes right in.
It's actually like a survey. It's asking you what's out of balance.
Amazing.
So at the end of a voice map session, it's actually a bonus that I integrate the software that Treya uses, and says, just do a little scan on a few things. I'll look at amino acids, hormones, and neurotransmitters, and just asking you what's most out of balance. And there's a whole lot of different items. And so it's that frequency signal kind of runs through your meridians, and then it comes back into my equipment, and it shows me what your body said is out of balance. And then Treya can read that information.
So the specificity is quite amazing.
This actually should be in every doctor's office.
Well, this is energy medicine.
Right.
This is okay, by the time a person gets their blood drawn and it shows that their thyroid is low, you would have picked that up way before they had symptoms, right?
Right.
Yeah, because everything starts at a molecular level.
Right.
Yes, it's a continuum. By the time you're sick and go to the doctor, it's already way out of whack. So what do you treat the patients with? What sorts of remedies then? Herbs, digestive enzyme. I guess it depends on what they need. Do you use sound? Do you use frequencies? Do you pulse back in what they need? What's your modality there, Treya?
Right, you're right. I use anything from nature. So that spectrum is actually pretty large. And then, so you have all CS herbs, vitamins, amino acids, essential fats,
homeopathy.
The realm is, and my equipment does the same thing that you were just mentioning about the little bottle of, you get this little bottle of water with the frequencies in it of whatever came out of your session, and associated with those frequencies is the potency that your body recognizes so that it can adjust to whatever it needs to adjust to. So if you have an infection, then you can get the frequency of the infection along with perhaps something herbal to help clean it up, depending on what's going on.
So you can actually sense the frequency of an infection and deal with it energetically and completely get around the antibiotics.
Well, depending on how advanced it is, yes.
How severe it is.
If it's really severe infection, then you may need some medical intervention.
Mm-hmm. But if you do some balancing
right. For
the body, then the body can continue to work on its own. It's actually the client is doing most of the work.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. That little bottle of fluid has just the right homeopathic frequencies, because that would not be foreign to the body. It actually would go in and gently rebalance, whereas that would be the first line of
right.
desirability. And then the second would be some herbs or things that, you know, would then you'd have to ingest, decide, is this compatible, am I resonant with this?
Yeah, I think one difference with Western medicine is, in Western medicine, we see a microbe, okay, here's a penicillin that'll knock out that microbe. And then there are other effects, which they call side effects, but they're all effects. Whereas in the energy field, again, it's not that we're not doing any diagnosing. We're simply sending you a question, and you're sending back an answer that is specifically relevant to you.
Mm-hmm. So you're rebalancing.
Right. The focus is all about balance.
Well, I was a registered nurse for many years, and what I'm finding is all the new information that I'm getting as I work with the Voice Bio and clients is that I have had to fight going back to that allopathic model because it just doesn't fit. It just really has no place in the system.
Well, it does if you break a leg and something like that.
Or surgery.
Yeah.
Hey, I want a good surgeon when I need one, and I'm very appreciative of a good surgeon, actually. So, Treya, your practice is right here in the back of Ordinary Miracles. And what types of clients do you see? Do you have a specialty? Or
It's fairly broad range, actually. I see anything from, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, allergies.
Autism,
yep. It's a fairly large paradigm of different things that can go on. I see Gulf War folks, PTSD folks, but that kind of marries over into Matt's work more. I see some people with cancer. There's just it's really soup to nuts. Most of the folks that come to see me are either burned out or completely frustrated with the traditional medical model. It's not working for them. Whatever's going on for them, they feel like they're not getting well or they're not being heard.
I imagine that you're seeing a lot of Epstein-Barr virus and Lyme disease and chronic fatigue, because the myriad and amount of symptomology there, and it's just very, very weighty. People, when I work with them with the Voice Bio, so many of them seem to have a certain frequency pattern, very, very difficult to break out of, and they are just disgusted and worn out with the medical model. What sort of success do you have with people with chronic, very ingrained, difficult situations, chronic fatigue, Lyme, for instance? What can you expect in a turnaround for that?
it does depend on the length of time that the illness has been present. If they, you know, chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr, if a virus has been present for decades, it could take a couple years to get things rebalanced. But a couple years is not actually that long. The body is pretty miraculous in recovering once it has the right tools, which is part of the work that we look at, just to see, you know, what is it that you actually want precisely do you want? And then that's all you get. You get what you want. You don't get anything that you don't want.
So the patient's will then is quite operational. When you're saying that you get what you want, is that on a deeper subconscious level, or are you also engaging the client's will and intentionality?
Well, I think that I hope my intent, and I ask every person before they leave usually, you know, if they feel like they have a comprehension of the different mechanisms that are going on and how things are intertwined, it's not ever one problem. If you have chronic fatigue, then you have endocrine issues going on. Mm-hmm. The virus is going to disturb your metabolism. It's going to affect your liver. There's a long cascade of different things that have evolved and over the time that you're dealing with whatever illness you've got going on.
That's one of the things that amazes me about the work you do. I remember once you and I were in a store someplace, and a salesman had incredibly horrible halitosis. And so we left, and I said, "What is that about?" And you just immediately said, "Liver."
Yeah.
And more often, skin problems, you know, teenagers struggling with acne. And they think it's about scrubbing the oil off their skin, and it's more about how their diet's compromising their digestive process, if I've got that correctly.
Yeah. But, I mean, the halitosis is also, you know, some sort of gut dysbiosis. There's what you're smelling is food actually fermenting, you know, deep inside that person, and the gases are coming up the wrong way. Or the right way, they're trying to get out, but they, you know, that for whatever reasons, they can't break down and digest their food properly, so, you know, our bodies do the best they can.
What Rudolf Steiner taught us about that is that when a person's mental forces, it's a figure eight, the top of their body is the mental, the bottom part is the metabolic. When the mental forces are too overpowering, you don't have the life forces to properly break down the life forces in the food, so they just foment, ferment, and kind of, so until you get that balance, the proper balance of the mental and the metabolic, the physical, that can tend to be a problem. I have a question for you, Treya. Okay.
Okay.
So I have been determined to have some menopausal, some hormonal imbalances. If I came to you, how would you look at that? What would happen?
Well, the initial first level of screen is looking at your organs and systems to see, you know, who's talking. And we know one of those is going to be your endocrine system that's going to be talking, but there's other things that lead up to the endocrine system. And so what shows up there, which opens a dialogue about how things are running, and then getting that initial screen that we're talking about that says, you know, is there something else driving your hormones off balance besides perhaps stress or life changes or menopause, you know, all those variables, obvious hormonal-related issues, before our endocrine system even gets to itself, it has to go through a detoxification pathway called P450, which is all about the liver function. And if the liver can't function right, then it can't manage hormones, which is why we have so much confusion, actually, around estrogen, the whole Premarin, Provera, all those big questions about how come women have developed cancers from taking pharmaceuticals because their liver is transporting or mistransporting those hormones. It doesn't recognize the synthetics. And sometimes it doesn't.
So that's something you would work with herbally or?
Right. It's looking at, yeah. It's looking at the whole cascade of, is it, what do you actually need? Do you need some, do you need an herb? Do you need an amino acid? Do you need a specific vitamin? How is your body dealing with inflammation, which is run through the sulfation pathways in our, from our liver? How is it methylating, which is run through the B vitamins? So it's that pathway. But it's all managed way before you even get to your hormones.
Well, I certainly want to make an appointment, and I notice we've got a couple of minutes left here. So, Trey, if I wanted to make an appointment, maybe you would like to tell our listeners how they could contact you.
Okay, well, the store number for Ordinary Miracles is 707-795-2462. I also have some technology that uses a hand cradle, so I can do long-distance phone work, getting the biofeedback resonances over the phone. Maybe we can talk about that another time.
If I explain that briefly, that the same man, Von Cook, who invented the equipment that Treya uses, developed this hand cradle. It uses galvanic skin response. You lay your hand on the cradle, and it reads energy traveling the meridians just like an acupuncturist would. And that can work through the phone lines with digital information. So that you can, Treya does have a practice in Ohio, and people have these phone cradles and they can have sessions though they're sitting in the room with them.
Amazing. Yeah. This
but
is certainly a marriage of the passion of healers like Treya, the technology, and then the application, and hopefully the awakening awareness of the public for these new modalities of energy medicine. Treya, you're a fabulous guest. It was really wonderful.
Thank you
to
so
really
much.
Really find out what truly what you do here at Ordinary Miracles, and thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back soon.
Thank We're going to do a couple quick announcements. Our upcoming guest on October 10th will be Journey Harrison. She is a priestess, songstress, ritualist, and lives in Gardnerville, Nevada, and leads a wonderful group of women up there. October 24th will be Susan Engels, another healer using brain state technology. On Halloween, we will discuss how priestesses, ancient and present, use sound for healing. November 28th, we'll have Katie Ketchum, Sacred Divine Feminine. She works with the Mary Magdalene Mysteries. Did you have any announcements tonight?
Let's see. October 14th, those of you who are fans of the Waybacks and might happen to be in Sonoma County, we have Stevie Coyle, who's a guitarist and songwriter with the Waybacks. We'll be performing right here at Ordinary Miracles, along with some local songwriters, doing Songwriters in the Round. That'll be at 3 o'clock on the 14th. And October 28th, coming up from Los Angeles, is a very powerful singer and songwriter and musician, Lisa Nemzo, who has traveled the world and written hit songs and things like that. And speaking of songs, last week Maury Manso was here, and he and I started writing a song on the air. And you have an update, Maury? Okay. Okay, so for our last couple of minutes, Maury's going to play the song in progress that started right here on Ordinary Miracle. I'll hold this while you're getting your headset on. Put on his headset here. And let me get the words here because this is brand new. Briefly, Tina called in and wanted to expand her horizons, not her waistline, and I couldn't work with that musically.
Okay, we'll probably fade out in the middle of your song.
All right,
whatever
well,
you got to do, Seth.
Now I can't say I have reached the farthest star, but I can say I've come this far, and as far as I've come, it's been a pretty good ride. I've seen my times of trouble, I take them in stride. So maybe I don't even care about the distant stars, I'm here right now, I've come this far.
And I'll tell you this, I don't know if life's fair or unfair, but I'm here right now, and you're right there. Come take me there, take me far, far away, to the farthest star. Maybe we'll see who we really are. Make me dance, let's dance the stars. We made this road as we walk it, and each moment is unique upon life's path. No predetermination, no fate-filled circumstance. I'm here right now, I want to dance. Maybe I don't care about the distance of stars. I'm here right now, here you are. Well, there are things that are primeval, like the movements in dance. There are things that are primal, taking a risk and a chance. And there are things elemental, like the beat of the drums, and I feel them beating. So here they come, make me dance, set me free, I'll dance with you, if you dance with me. And maybe I'm some star in the distant universe, someone hears the chorus, and maybe a verse, and maybe they'll dance. So let's just dance, take just one turn. That's the meaning of the word universe. One revolution, just one turn. So make us dance, the whole universe.
Are we off, Seth? Are we on?
We made it.
Good night.